7 minutes past six here on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. A look at the markets. We're up, boosted by those resources shares. The all-share index up 0.75% to 54,409. Top 40 up 0.33%. The rand at 11.85 to the dollar 18.54 against sterling and 13 rand 45 against the euro. Gold price $1,226.95 an ounce. Platinum $1,176.60 an ounce. Brent crude at $66.16 a barrel. It looks like it's stuck around that level. Simon Brown is with just a one left, joins us now. Hi, Simon.
Evening, Vicky.
Well, we up resources really doing well. And of course, the big story is the debut of South 32.
Yeah, I must say, and it was a broad-based rally, but undoubtedly resources won the day. But what we're seeing, if we step back, is a market that goes up 2 days and then down two days and kind of really drifting sideways the last little bit. Some good results today, and as you said, the South 32 arriving on our bourse, code S32, and trading at 20 rand, which I thought was reasonable, although some valuations were pitching it closer to 40 rand, and I have to say, I thought the 40 rand valuation was decidedly crazy.
It was quite interesting just looking at Australia, the reports coming out of there, and people had also expected it to trade a little bit higher than their launch price down there, which I think was around $2.13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really what we're seeing here is 2 points. Firstly, these are assets that Billiton does not want. So why do I want them is my first question. The second issue is you're always going to see some initial selling pressure. People who say, I don't want this, so they get rid of it. If you hold less than 10,000 Billiton shares, they would have taken your South 32 and will sell them on your behalf into the market. So typically, we saw it with Sibanye. We always see it with these spin-outs. The first couple of days, couple of weeks, we see some pressure on the price. Then it can potentially move higher. But this is still, to my mind, I own them. I hold Billiton. But this is not a stock I plan to hold long-term. We start to see some strength in the months ahead, and I'm going to do what Billiton did, get rid of it.
Oh, I mean, they've got some assets there that have legs.
they have, but they're kind of the second tiers. And you know, I'm very picky in my resource space. I want the best of the best in terms of assets, what they mine, in terms of geography, in terms of management. And yes, they've got some great aluminium assets. And I look at it and I shake my head and I think, aluminium? I get a tin cans and, you know, it's what your beer comes in, unless it's console glass. But it's just, to me, it's not an exciting business.
All right, let's look at the other numbers out today. Vodacom, they are really getting hit. On the one hand, it's the mobile termination rates and, of course, the competition on price.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And the only sort of bright light on the horizon really is around the increase of people moving towards data, smartphones, and people who are using more data than we did a year ago and the year before that. The problem with data is the price is coming down. So even though they're winning customers on that side, and about half of their users are now using some level of data on their phones, it's not making up for that lost revenue. So they're really quite quickly turning into that ex-growth company, which we always kind of knew would happen. And the bigger problem for them, perhaps, way big problem, is because of the Vodafone shareholding, they're restricted to only operating in Southern Africa. They can't go off as MTN has into Central Africa or into other parts of the world. So there's not a heck lot of growth prospect for them. When everything kind of shakes up, they're just going to become a utility in a sense and a well-paying dividend one of that. You'll get a good dividend out of Vodacom.
You'll still get that. Yeah, but if you had to pick between the two, MTN and Vodacom?
To me, it's MTN. I like the growth prospects. I like Nigeria. They've got some quite risky places. Sudan and Iran spring to mind, or certainly Sudan, Syria more recently as well. But certainly, I like their growth prospects going forward.
All right, Netcare. We spoke to them, Dr. Richard Friedland, a little bit earlier. Let's just hear very quickly first what he had to say about their interims, and then I'll get your view on the hospital business.
I think what you're seeing in our results is less about price increases and tariff increases and more about operational efficiencies and operating leverage come through, if I may say so.
All right, looking at the South African market, I mean, I mentioned that we are, the economy is kind of struggling along. We've got load shedding that's also impacting on businesses. Doesn't matter what size you are,
sure.
It has some sort of an impact on you. How are you countering?
We spent a lot of time today talking about that because we've made a very significant commitment to our patients and our staff and doctors that we will try and not suffer any interruptions. And clearly, you know, in a hospital environment, that could be life-threatening. So we have generators throughout all of our hospitals, an uninterrupted power supply. Mm. 21 of our hospitals can actually run completely independent of the grid, and another 28 have dual generators, so backup generators above emergency generators. Fortunately, we haven't had any disruptions to date. Obviously, we're spending a lot on diesel in keeping these generators going, and we've probably spent twice as much as we spent the entire year last year already in these 6 months. But we are fully prepared for any outages.
Okay. And in the local market, have you opened any new hospitals? Are you planning more?
Siggy, we're planning to open two brand new hospitals. Mm-hmm. The one flagship hospital in Polokwane, it's a 200-bed facility, and another one on the West Rand in Mogale City or Pinehaven, that's 100 beds. They'll open in September, and then we're adding another 510 beds. To our network, which means that we'll be just under 10,000 beds by year end.
That's Dr. Richard Friedland, CEO of Netcare. And for the full discussion, you can go to our website, moneyweb.co.za. Simon, private hospitals?
I like private hospitals in the one sense because they're kind of like hotels with two stark differences. You don't voluntarily check in. You get sent there. And then hopefully you've got a medical aide who pays for you.
Yeah.
So it's a good business. But we saw last week Mediclinic update. The market wasn't impressed. Life Healthcare, and there's some reasons. Those numbers weren't great. Netcare today, those are strong, strong numbers. The cash generation at 1.5 billion rand is a giant number. And they're managing their biggest challenge, which as you asked in the interview, is the load shedding. And thus far, they're managing it seamlessly at a cost. But that cost isn't impending their ability to turn a profit. So of the three, to my mind, I think they're the out and out winners.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Simon. Simon Brown, CEO and founder of Just One Lap.